love you.
Obama is sick of the GOP crashing his health care reform plan. And we'll do some time traveling, also revisiting Jaws in this hour on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii, as they say here on the islands. Did you know that it was back in 1778, oh, I love it when we do this day in history early on the show. Did you know in 1778, British explorer Captain James Cook discovered the Hawaiian Islands and then names them Sandwich Islands after Britain's Earl of Sandwich? Now, that's a fun fact, right? Now, that'll get you some girls' digits right at the bar. I gotta tell you this. In 1817, coffee was first planted in Hawaii. In 1819, King Kamehameha the Great dies. And then Prince Liholiho ascended the throne. He also abandoned this strange ancient taboo of eating with a woman. So they never ate with women before that. Who knew? I didn't know till I looked it up. In 1892, my favorite macadamia nuts, the trees, were first planted in Hawaii. And if we fast forward to modern times, a couple of quick things that I think you'll find fascinating. Hawaii's first TV station actually began broadcasting. It was in 1952. Before that, it was all about the ukuleles, baby. And you heard the theme to Hawaii Five-O, that hit television series? That happened back in 1969. Jack Bookum Dano began the Hawaii TV, of course, Jack Lord, began the Hawaii Five-O television series. He loved Hawaii. He lived in Hawaii. And in 1980, Tom Selleck started Magnum P.I., the TV series. Mm-hmm. In 1983, I promise this is the last one, Kilauea volcano erupted on the Big Island, and it still erupts today. My last trip to Hawaii, spent some time on the Big Island, and in fact, I did see some lava. It was incredible flying overwards in a helicopter and watching the lava flow. Got some kind of interesting souvenirs. They did a thing where they took a whisk. They had other things, I guess, they dipped into the lava, and then the lava hardened on it, and then they sold that souvenir to crazy tourists like me for a mere $30. I know. Still is a centerpiece in my home. I'm not kidding you. So I'm thrilled to be broadcasting, like I said, from Maui, Hawaii. Just a lucky thing that I had a good friend that got a comp trip that took me along. In fact, such a good friend that we played today on the Bay Course. Yeah, we played today on the Bay Course because, you know, as I said, I'm broadcasting from Maui. So Kapalua has a Bay Course and a Plantation Course. The Plantation Course, for golf nuts out there, in January they have the Mercedes-Benz Championships, and that's what you see when you flick around and look at the highlights, or maybe you watch it and you see the course and it's beautiful. And today we're at the other course, the C course, and I held back purposely. I was playing under an assumed name, Annika Sorenstam. She would die, the Swedish woman, if she saw the way I was hitting the ball. But I held my own. I tried. Winds of 30 miles an hour was pretty tough, though, I've got to tell you. But who can complain when you're in Hawaii? Speaking of complaining, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been kicking up his heels in protest over what is happening with his state government, the fact that they wanted to raise taxes in California. He would have none of it. Now, some of you can relate. Why do I start with Schwarzenegger? Because people are finding that their own states are crunched. It's not just Cali. There are other people suffering because of budget cuts where your state services aren't there? You go to renew your driver's license and they're not open. And more importantly, sadly, the people who work in these state jobs are cut. And they're working just a couple of days a week, if that, and that's what's happened in California. So here's the deal. They've reached an agreement on a budget because the federal government said, screw it, we're not helping you, right? So they announced this tentative deal late today to eliminate a $26 billion shortfall. And what they're going to do, it's they're looking at state agencies, looking at billions of dollars in cuts. So the people that work for, like, the DMV, as I mentioned, they're the people who are probably going to find themselves without a job or maybe a lot of the hours cut back. This basic agreement includes no tax increases, which is what he didn't want. The Republicans didn't want that, by the way, in the state assembly. So they've got to make up about $15 billion in cuts, and that's it in a nutshell. The state schools are already struggling, but they're going to be spared the cuts. These kids, where they want a bunch of dummies rolled out from the public education in California, they can't do it anymore. They've cut back so much, it's ridiculous. So they're going to release the details soon, but the bottom line is they've come to an agreement, so the impasse is over. Good for you, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not even going to be up, obviously, for governor next time around. Who knows? It's probably going to be Gavin Newsom. I mentioned this on our last show, the very liberal mayor of San Francisco, and you can bet that he'll try to bring the whole gay marriage thing back around if he has enough juice to become the governor of California. In the meantime, back in the Capitol, Obama was having none of it. He's sick of the Republicans and the criticism over health reform. Here's what he had to say.
Just the other day, one Republican senator said, and I'm quoting him now, if we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. It will break him. Think about that. This isn't about me. This isn't about politics. This is about a healthcare system that is breaking America's families, breaking America's businesses, and breaking America's economy. And we can't afford the politics of delay and defeat when it comes to healthcare. Not this time, not now. There are too many lives and livelihoods at stake.
All right, so think about that. That's a great question. There are too many lives and livelihoods at stake. Have you switched your mind on what Obama's saying? And notice, it's not health care reform anymore, by the way. It's health insurance. That's what they're talking about, health insurance reform. Because that's really what it is in a nutshell. If you have a country that's this powerful, should you have that many people unemployed? I mean, look at it from that point of view. Uninsured. Should that many people be uninsured in this country? And again, the tax is all on the rich. Anybody making over $350,000, they're going to get popped in some way. And the businesses is the only aspect, I think, where you're really committing hara-kiri. Because how many small businesses? I double-checked with the Better Business Bureau and the Small Business Administration. And 95% of the businesses in our country are small businesses. Time travel, that's up next here on America Tonight, broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. This 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the e-book. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today. If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette, and even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the Premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit PremiumeCigarette.com. That's Premium, the letter E, Cigarette.com. PremiumeCigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
America tonight, a growing number of states sick of accidents because of cell phone idiots who are talking while they're driving. They're just not good multitaskers, right? So we'll tell you more about that. Also, a Rasmussen poll for 2012 shows that Palin could actually almost shockingly be in the lead. She hasn't even said she's running. And how about Mitt Romney against Obama? I'll give you all the details on that. And Paula Abdul, she is the blunder of the day. I'm going to tell you why. In the meantime, I've often thought about this. How cool would this be if you could go back in time? Where would you want to go? Remember there was that movie, Leopold and Kate? Hugh Jackman was in it and Meg Ryan. And the whole idea was they jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, or she did, and she went back in time with him. And then there, of course, was a television show called Quantum Leap. I didn't particularly love the show, but I loved the idea about the show that you could travel back in time. And there's always something that's, I think, fascinating to a lot of people about the possibilities. Can we leap through time? At least in our imagination, right? So Bob Otis joins us here on America Tonight. He's got a new book out called A Testimony of Lions. And we're talking about what if we could master time travel. Bob, how are you?
Good, Kay. How are you?
I'm really serious about that. I'm fascinated by the whole prospect of time travel. I'm not the only person. I would probably, because I grew up outside of Philadelphia, and so many times when I was a kid, walked through the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. I honestly think I would want to go back to that time in history to see what was it really like for those people and have it come to life for me. And there's this thing in our head where what if we were part of history? Do you find, especially after writing this book, that there is a fascination with a lot of people, and as far as time travel?
Oh, absolutely. It's matter of fact, I can't think of any subject that anybody would turn down a trip if somebody gave them a ticket, you know, and say, take your choice. Where do you want to, do you want Leonardo da Vinci, or do you want Voltaire, or do you want, you know, who? I'm like you. I'd love to have been in that Continental Congress and listen to those 13 guys arguing it out and try to pound out a Declaration of Independence. And wouldn't that have been something to see what actually took place there? And I think what most people don't know is when that did happen, that they finally got it together. But when these guys went up and signed that, what courage did that take? Because they're signing their own death warrant. If they don't lose, you know, if they lose that war, George Washington is fighting for them, these guys are going to hang. So it takes a lot of courage to give birth to this baby nation that didn't have much of a chance of survival. But by golly, here we are.
Yeah, I said that, you know, this past 4th of July, 233 years, and I think of how many countries rely on us and how powerful the United States is and how important it is to protect freedom of speech because of that, of going back in history and thinking exactly what you just said, that George Washington and the rest of the gang, they were signing their own death warrants because they were tipping the crown. They were saying, you know,
right.
We don't want any of this.
And
we
fighting
want,
the most powerful
freedoms.
Nation on earth with a bunch of ragtag farmer, you know, part-time soldier farmers. It's just incredible how we got started. In fact, I'm doing a book on it now.
Oh, good. We'll have to have you back on to talk about that. Because that's, to me, that...
by the way, I want to thank you for having me back because I normally don't enjoy these, but last time you made me feel so comfortable. I was really looking forward to it.
Oh, thanks, Bob. You know, and then this is the question. How close is it? I mean, really, let's talk about this really. How close would science even making it a possibility, dare I say?
Well, you know, that's obviously that question comes up. And about all I can think of is that what happened in the 20th century was about 1,000 or maybe 2,000 times more than happened in all the centuries before that, as far as technology is concerned. Now, so if we did that in one century, what's the 21st century going to hold? I mean, all the stuff that we, you know, we hadn't flown an airplane before then, you know. We hadn't had a light bulb. We hadn't done any of these things before the last century. Now, think what could happen in the next century, what seems impossible, reversing time. Are you crazy? You know, that's and I just don't put anything down anymore that I said, well, that's strictly science fiction, or that's way beyond possibility of anybody's belief system, you know. So I just don't know. I don't know how to do it, certainly.
If you knew how to do it, are you kidding? This being a completely different interview, and can you imagine? We'd have to lock you away somewhere because everybody would want that knowledge. It would be so incredibly powerful. It's like we said about 1776 and the Continental Congress and what happened way back when in the beginning of our nation. What could possibly change in history besides that? What do you think people would examine? See, I think people would go back to Hitler, and they would try to stamp him out, shut him down before things got started in Germany.
Well, that's always the big, another one of the big things. You know, if you'd gone back there in 1931 or 28 or 29 when this guy was hanging wallpaper or whatever, and you nailed him and five or six of his cohorts, Goebbels and Goering and Hess and the rest of them, would there have been a World War II? Now, my concept on the thing is that you can't change what's already happened. Now, your question goes more into, well, what if you knew something was coming up and you went back and did something about that? Would that change future history? I don't know. I just don't know. I had a guy on the other day that he called me from London, for God's sake. He was a talk show host, and most of his listening audience were into the paranormal, et cetera. And he spent 24 minutes almost browbeating me into telling him, convincing him that I'm holding something back from him, that I really do know about time travel. And I finally wanted to scream at him, hey, I'm a science fiction writer. You know, I can barely tell time, let alone tell anything about time travel. I wish I could, I'd tell you, but if I went back and talked to Isaac Newton, I could tell him all about a light bulb, but I couldn't make one.
Yeah, so, boy, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey, in writing science fiction, how did you get into that, Bob?
Well, the subject matter, as you said, time travel itself was kind of a fascination to me. And so many places, I shouldn't say places, there seemed to be a big thing amongst all the population about how did we get here and why are we here? Is there a reason? Is there a purpose? You know, we look at this huge cosmos, and as far as we know, we are still the only little thing that has living, intelligent life on it. And I thought, everybody said, well, how do we get here? Well, you got one of two ways. You have evolution, or you have creation. Creation held reigns for many years through religion. That is creation without instrumentation. That's God willing something to be. The other is, when 1859, when Darwin came out with his Origin of the Species, there we evolved from a lower animal. So that is holds the main precedent right now as far as institutions of higher learning are concerned. But they're both flawed. They both take faith to believe, and they say, well, you can't mix science with religion. Well, I point out to them that the guy that made the biggest contribution to modern-day science was a man named Lemaitre, because they had the solid-state system for the universe. And he came up with what is commonly referred to as the Big Bang. And this guy was an ordained Catholic priest. He came up with that fantastic concept.
Exactly.
And so they're not really fighting each other. There's contradictions, obviously, if you get into hardcore people that say, I believe every word of this or every word of that, and, you know, just don't give anybody any elbow room to move in. But I think there's a that was my reason for writing the book, because I wanted this guy had read in the Bible that Jesus Christ was the firstborn of all God's creations and all things were created through him. So naturally that seemed like a thing that he wanted to do, but he can't just go back there. He'd come up with a machine after 17 years with using both Einstein, you know, the relativity thing, and Stephen Hawking with his theories of quantum mechanics. And yeah, he found the combination between the two. Now he can go, but what do? You can't go back there and Levi's and a pair of T-shirts, you know, a pair of T-shirt shirt.
Yeah, you can't.
And Nikes or something like that. He has to make it everything fit in, because he'd be so outstanding, and they'd probably hang him just because they thought he was a heretic, or, you know, everybody's claiming to be messiahs or something. He just wanted to remain incognito, and the making of the journey is the most fun part. When you stop to sit down and think, what would I do if I were going to go? What would I need? And, well, you've got to make your own clothes, your own sandals, your own water bag. You even have to make your own money. You have
exactly
to learn four languages.
So you could fit in. Bob Oates, it's always a pleasure.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
As you already know, drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii. Just an hour ago, I was on D.T. Fleming Beach. It's been rated as America's best beach since 2006. White sandy beachfronts. Let me tell you, those white caps, I swear I thought I saw a shark. I did. That's what happens. Just bobbing up and down on the water, next second, boom, she disappears. Luckily, I know what to do if I see a shark. Punch him in the nose. My 7-year-old nephew told me that. Joining us now here on ATN is Pat Jankowicz. And it's interesting, he's got a whole lot of things to talk about when it comes to revisiting Jaws. In fact, he's got a new book out just when you thought it was safe, A Jaws Companion, going behind the scenes of all 4 Jaws movies. If you check it out on Amazon's top movie books, it's just way up there in the top 5. It's funny, too, because maybe about a year ago, I was on that old movie set at Universal Studios, The Shark Comes Up. Man, I was a kid when that movie came out, and we had a house at the Jersey Shore, and it scared me to death. My mother had to push me into the bay. And I know that there's tons of people listening to me that can relate to that experience. Patrick, how are you doing?
I'm good, kid. How are you?
Yeah, you know, don't you think that's true, that there is just something about sharks and the way we think about the possibilities since the Jaw movies came out? And I really, honestly, it cleared the beaches for a while in Jersey, and I know it did that on the West Coast and all over and everywhere in between. Do you think there still is something about it?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's especially good to clear the Jersey Shore because that's where Jaws came from.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, 1916, Peter Benchley is a native New Jerseyite, Princeton. But more importantly, the movie was a fictional account of the Jersey Shore attacks of 1916.
Yeah, and people don't realize how many people died in that or were injured in that. What happened there?
The shark took out 5 people in 12 days in the summer of 1916, and a couple attacks in the movie. They make reference to it in the movie Jaws. They make reference to it in the book. But more importantly, what happened is one of the murders in the movie is based on that attack, where the shark goes into the pond. That is not a scene in the book that was added to the movie. You know, Kate, may I ask, when you grew up in Jersey, how close did you live to Matawan Creek?
Say that again about Matawan Creek?
How close, when you lived in Jersey, did you live to Matawan Creek?
Probably about maybe 35 minutes.
Yeah, that was where the Jersey Shark took out 2 people along the Jersey Shore. Then he went 12 miles inland, which has never been done before. He went 12 miles inland near Asbury, Park, to eat a little kid, the guy who went in the water to save him, and then he bit off the leg of another child about 2 miles downstream from that.
Now,
go on.
Yeah, so Jersey is known for that. And then you just saw that what happened, too, in Long Island, that the giant shark that washed up. Of course, it wasn't the great white shark. But still, it was pretty scary looking at that video. I know it chased a lot of people off the beach last week.
And he's 24 feet, 1 foot less than the one from the movie, yes.
Yeah, crazy. Hey, this had to be fascinating for you to dig into all this trivia and everything. What's something about the movie that we don't know? I saw a note from you, and this was great. You had something in there where you said the sequel was supposed to open with a great white shark actually eating or devouring, crunching the chief Brody. But what happened? They decided it was too bloody or gory or would ruin it?
Oh, and worse than that, actually. Roy, they were going to open Jaws the Revenge with good old reliable lovable Martin Brody being eaten by a great white shark. What happened is in 1987, Roy Scheider asked for a then unheard of $1 million for 9 days' work. He despised the studio, and the studio despised him. And that was back in the days when $1 million was a lot of money for a co-star of a movie to get. So basically, they dumped Roy, killed him off before the movie began, and they put his picture on the wall of the Amity police station, and they killed his son, Sean, the little boy from the first film, instead. What's also interesting, you were asking about things about Jaws you did not know. Did you know that the voice of the little boy is provided by June Foray, who played Rocky the Flying Squirrel in the Bullwinkle cartoons?
Absolutely not.
Watch the movie. The little kid has a very thick Boston accent at the beginning of the film. But when the little boy asks, when Brody asks his son to go in the pond, and he says, "The pond's for old ladies," that was the great June Foray brought in to dub the voice.
Wow, I had no idea. Now I'm going to have to definitely, I think I've got a copy of it at home. I'm going to have to go and check it out because, of course, you know this, Patrick. I am broadcasting from Maui, so I thought, do I tempt fate and have him on to talk about some shark stuff when I'm going to go to, to the crater and I'm going to scuba dive and I'm going to be out there at Turtle Island and all that sort of stuff. But I said this. Honestly, I've watched so much of Shark Week and everything else that there are scary things that happen to people, but it is just like everything else. You just don't know. I mean, hey, could a baby shark swim near you? Could a harmless shark swim near you? And that's why I started this off saying that, you know, you're writing about the movies. There is something about it. We are fascinated by these creatures because, let's face it, how often do we encounter them? At least we're hoping we really don't encounter them, right?
Well, yeah, but remember, in Hawaii, you guys are actually close to a giant shark population. I mean, it goes back in Hawaiian culture. I think the thing is, what scares everybody about sharks is that, you plan it, like you were joking about going to the beach earlier today, and your nephew gave you some very sound advice, actually. But what you don't think of is that, you know, 10, 20 feet from the beach, you're basically part of the food chain, you know?
Yeah, thanks, Patrick.
Well, I'm sure you'll be safe scuba diving, Kate. But when you get that close to the water, I mean, who's to tell what's going to happen? You don't go out when the water is cloudy. You don't swim at first light. The opening shot in my book, I used to go. My father and brothers and I would go swimming in Avila Beach. Up by Pismo.
Yeah.
And a woman was bitten in half by a 20-foot great white, and that the warning sign at the beginning of my book was actually we'd gone to Avila again. I was going to do my swimming, and they had the shark alert sign on the beach, and it kind of freaked me out because I never thought anything would come bite somebody in half at Avila Beach, you know?
Yeah, no, it's funny that you bring that up. I used to live in Pismo Beach and see the surfers there and spent a lot of time in that area and actually learned how to scuba dive there. And I was told about, you know, the possibilities of things that you might see in the water. And one of them were shark flashes and, you know, not to panic. And, of course, when you're diving, people say, oh, you're safe, it's okay. But you know this, being in California, there have been lots of attacks up and down the coastline. I mean, lots, when I say lots, over the years you could pull them out. So it's not every day somebody's being attacked. But whenever somebody is attacked, it's like an airplane crash. It's huge, huge headlines,
exactly.
Everything.
Exactly. And you know what, in California, starting with Catalina, you have something called the Channel Islands, where as the islands go progressively closer out to sea, you have more sharks. The sharks come in chasing the sea lions and the seals, and basically they confuse divers, because a diver or a surfer looks pretty much like a seal from when the shark is coming up from under. He sees the outline, you know, he senses the outline and hones in on it because they've got bad eyesight. And, I mean, after a bite or two, they realize they made an error and move on. But, of course, that can be fatal for whoever they bite into, you know?
Yeah, boy, no kidding.
Surfers call the Channel Island area Shark Park. It's kind of a triangle. It's famous in this area. And for any viewer nationwide of Shark Week, of course, you know?
And, boy, no kidding. Well, are you just fascinated by sharks, and that's how you got into this whole thing, too, about writing about it?
Exactly. And this movie in particular, as you mentioned, being impressed with it when you were little, it was one of those zeitgeist movies where it took over every discussion, a political discussion, comedy shows, film. It became referential. Remember, you couldn't get away from Jaws for like a 9-month period.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny that you say, too, because there's still references to Jaws today. It's a pop culture thing. I think the movie, you know, somebody dresses like a shark, or you see a little bit and it's thrown in there, or the music that we just played is thrown out there. So it lives on and on and on.
Oh, exactly. In fact, I think the unkillable nature of Jaws, it's one of the 5 most often run movies on basic cable. And I think it's primordial fear, again, being eaten by a fish. What's the more horrible thing you could possibly imagine, you know?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Now that you've scared me to death about going to the D.T. Fleming Beach, I'm kidding. Do you swim? Do you dive or snorkel or any of that?
I do, but around the time I think Jaws 2 came out, we were on a family vacation, and a dorsal fin surfaced and circled us, and it turned out to be about a 12-foot hammerhead. And it was it wasn't like in the movie where the shark moves kind of, you know, like a mechanical shark. It was kind of a lazy fin circling you, and all these fish were jumping around us. It was one of the most terrifying things I'd ever seen, and yet you were filled with awe and respect for it as well, you know?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Awesome. So people can pick up your book at Amazon.com, obviously, Barnes & Noble, all those kinds of places, right?
They sure can, all those good. And I urge you to see the movie again, Kate. If you haven't seen it in a while, it's a much better film than anybody remembers.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Patrick, aloha. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, dear Lydia. I appreciate it myself. Thanks.
All right, coming up next on the show, we got odds and ends. What's happening around the country? What about Guantanamo? Wasn't that report due? It's a little late. I'll tell you why next.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Thanks for all that applause. That's our live studio audience in Minneapolis. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you from coast to coast and everywhere in between here on these airwaves. We are broadcasting from Maui, Hawaii. It's interesting. I was talking to Donovan Madsen, our technical maestro, and he told me that at the studios in Minneapolis, it's 80 degrees. In Maui, it's 84. And if you remember, we have the satellite, of course, studios in Dallas, Texas, and there it's 110 degrees. But Los Angeles has been like an inferno. Dante's Inferno. My mother always told me that it was a state that was going to fall into the ocean, and it's not looking good there. In fact, the largest utility in Southern California is telling people to conserve power because, you know, to help keep air conditioners running without interruption. The hot weather has been killing them, reaching the 90s, 100, the low 100s. And Edison Utilities, the company, and they're worried about their transmission system and how well it's going to perform if they continue to get slammed with this heat wave. They've got lightning in some of the isolated areas, and it's caused equipment failures and scattered outages and that kind of stuff. So California is in trouble if they continue to get pummeled by the high temps. They're hoping that it's going to fall back. Edison owns and operates, I don't know how much, 14,000 basically MWs, as they call them, of generating capacity. So ultimately, they also market energy commodities in North America. You know, that transmits and distributes electricity to about 4.9 million customers in Central and Southern California. Uh-huh. Yeah, so those megawatts, there's big problems there in Cali if that continues. All right, odds and ends. I mentioned Obama and the delay with the Guantanamo report. And already there's a lot of a fire being thrown the way of the president. And it's not all from conservative Republicans or independents or whatever. A lot of it's from liberal activists. And even aides are saying, look, we're going to miss this deadline on Tuesday to submit a report that will lay out the policy of the detainee people that are at Guantanamo, the terror suspects, right? The report is a key part of the White House's plan for shutting down that prison at Gitmo. So, of course, what happens? You have to have a briefing, and you had a whole bunch of officials that were trotted out, and they're confirming that what's happened is they've gotten a six-month extension because they've got to really flesh out the plans. And they've got a task force that has to deal with the interrogation policy. So they've been given a two-month extension to submit their report. Remember, the reports were supposed to be completed this week. That was by Obama himself, the executive orders that were signed, actually, if you go back in time, to his first week in office. So this is a big blow, I think, for Obama, since a lot of, like I said, liberal activists are furious about this. One of the campaign promises is shut down Guantanamo. It has to go. This is not right about the 240 terror suspects that are sitting there behind bars and they're not getting processed and all that stuff. They're nowhere close to having anything happen here. So it begs the question again, you know, what do you do? How many people in the United States want the people, and of course there are different types of detainees there, but how many people in the United States are embracing the idea of having some of these suspects, or the majority of them, come to the United States? And the answer to that is, you know, not very many, even those that would call themselves liberal. What do you say, America? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. By the way, about 50 of the detainees are actually getting ready for transfer, and there are a bunch of others that are also getting prepared for prosecution. So they're trying to move that along, but this was one of the main things that Obama promised, shutting down Guantanamo, ending the military commissions. And that was the deal. That was one of the things he ran on. That was one of the things that was promised. So it's being deferred right now. And what the ACLU even is saying is that this administration is slipping into the same legal swamp that engulfed the Bush guys with failed policies at Gitmo. I mean, let's face it. What do you do here? First of all, Guantanamo is a cesspool. The guards that work there spit at, thrown things at. It's awful. And you're sitting in Cuba. But how do you break this up? What really are the conditions there? I think the conditions are terrible for the guards, frankly. I don't know why anyone would want that assignment. But this was a promise. And this is one that's not working. It's going to take years before anything happens, justice-wise, years. There's just no way that that's going to happen anytime soon. There are too many legal loopholes, first of all. All right, we move from that to one of my favorite things that we do on the show, and I actually haven't done this in a while, so I'm sorry, and I always tell you, you can submit nominees for daily salutes. So somebody in your neck of the woods, in Vermont, in California, in Connecticut, in Illinois, if you're listening to us, you know, anywhere, and somebody's done something that should be recognized and you think it's worth a nod, send them to me. Send me their name, send me their story, and maybe we'll do it on the air. Okay, this guy is uber, uber famous, but he still gets a tip of the cap for what he did. Tyler Perry. He is a writer, producer, star. Remember, he plays Medea. And he's got out a film that you might have seen on, I don't know, it's HBO or Showtime or whatever. It just was in the theaters a while ago. It's called Medea Goes to Jail. And, of course, the television show is House of Pain. I mean, this guy has such a wild story, first of all, how he ended up in the creative process and how incredibly successful he is. He has his own studio. But Perry is sponsoring a Disney World trip for 65 Pennsylvania kids at a minority daycare center, you know, that were kids that were going to the swim club that found themselves canceled for the summer. The swimming privileges for the kids were pulled away. Remember that? I mean, this was a dicey situation. So when he heard about what was happening to the kids, he decided, I'm stepping up. And this is going to be better for the kids. So this pool controversy at the Valley Swim Club in a suburb of Philadelphia, remember this, where they revoked the swimming privileges for the kids from the Creative Steps Center after one visit in late June? Because you had black and Hispanic kids and the white club members, apparently some of them made some pretty racist, snide comments to them during the visit and asked why black children were there. And thought, somebody even said they might steal from us. What idiot is saying that at this club? So it made giant headlines, I'm sure. I know we talked about it on America Tonight as a blunder. So the daycare center originally had contracted to use the pool during the summer, but the club canceled it and paid them back their almost $2,000. So now Tyler Perry steps in. Can we have some massive applause for Perry? Yeah, inner city kids. That's just not right. So it was a small act of kindness on his part, one that I'm sure they're going to remember forever. And they're going to be there from August 1st to August 3rd. How about that? So that's good, because they have to have an awful taste in their mouth, and that had to be a terrible situation. There may be lawsuits as a result of that, and like I said, we talked about that at length, and what idiot said some of the things that were said that were reported and apparently not exaggerated. And of course, they revoked the idea, you know, here's your check back. So the club wasn't happy, and they couldn't deny that, because why would they have given them the check back? I think that we haven't heard the last of that story, but anyway, that's one of those silver lining feel-good things. So it follows that it would be a daily salute. But you don't have to be famous to be part of that. You can shoot us an email, like I said before, to americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Coming up later in the week, and of course, later on America Tonight, if you stick around for some of the upcoming hours, we're going to tell you more about Hawaii as I'm broadcasting from Maui. Just beautiful, getting ready for another